Welcome to the Gathering at Meadowview with Doug Messer, a church focused on biblical truth through scriptural teaching. I hope you enjoy the message today.
All right, today and every Sunday, and it's as it should be in church, there's reasons why we come together. We come together every week, and we have this one service, this one time that we all come together, and there's a purpose in it. The purpose in it is to share together, talk with one another, build relationship together, encourage one another in faith, read God's word together, and take what we share together and apply it to our lives. See the testimonies of those who are up here and know of their lives and that they're singing and leading in worship. There's purpose in all of it. When we come together today, there's a purpose in this focus as we look into God's word, because maybe it would transition us to a place where our spiritual life is even more enhanced. We learn more about God and something firmer that we stand upon. We're able to take what we share together today and make our life more full as we worship God and as we see Him in our life and as He moves in our life. Today, we're going to talk about a focus, and this focus is how to thrive. What? Thriving. Huh? There's two places that we're at as Christians. We're either surviving or we're thriving. And we have to answer that for ourselves. Am I in a place where I'm just surviving as a Christian? I read the Bible, I go to church, I do my thing, but I'm just surviving. You know, you watch those programs like Alone, where a person goes out and they stay in the wilderness and they have to find their own shelter and their own food, and they see who can stay out there the longest. They're not thriving. After 100 days, somebody lost 40 pounds and they're barely making it, and they're dirty and filthy and sick, and they stay there the long. They're not thriving. They survived. And probably 10 more days and they wouldn't even be surviving. Spiritually, we can be in that place too sometimes, where it's not really that we're gaining and enhancing. In fact, sometimes we hear people give a testimony about God, or we hear when we come together in church that somebody had this answer to prayer, or some great thing happened in their life, or they're able to go through this difficulty, and we find out about that and we say, that doesn't ever happen to me. I mean, I don't ever really experience that. It's kind of like going to a national park. You know, if you go over to Great Smoky Mountain National Park or you go to Cades Cove, there's a big gate there. And you're sitting at the gate in your car. And there's people who are coming out of the gate. And they say, oh man, we saw a bear going across the road. We saw some elk. We saw some deer. It was beautiful. There was a creek back there. It was so beautiful. The buildings back there and the waterfalls. We went back to Abram's waterfall. It was so beautiful what we experienced. I want to come back here again. And you're sitting in your car and you say, I never experienced that. I've never seen those things. Why? Because you're not in the park. You're sitting at the gate. You're surviving. You're not thriving. And there are things that you can experience. And it says in John 10:10, Jesus said, I came to give you life more abundant. I don't want my followers to be people who live in the world and just survive. Breathe in air, go to work, mow the grass, watch TV, go to sleep, get up, do it again. That's surviving. You're not getting anywhere. There isn't any relationship with God that's transcending through your life. It doesn't mean, and sometimes this has been told in the church, and it's not true, that you escape all the bad stuff. It doesn't happen. But we can go through the bad stuff and we can still thrive. And in fact, people would look at you and they'd say, how in the world did you just make it through that? How are you able to do that? How is it that you're able to live? How is it able that you're even able to walk and share and be here? And I don't understand, because you're thriving. Is there a way that, and we talked about this, we did our Easter service, and we talked about the things that happened after the Easter celebration of Christ and his resurrection. Last week, we talked about the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit came into our lives and moves within us. And now we go to a place, oh, I got to tell you this, I'll be straight up with you. I'm stealing somebody's sermon today. But this guy stole it from somebody else. In fact, he stole it from two other guys. I'm stealing Peter's sermon, okay? It's in the Bible. He stole it from two other guys, and it's in Acts chapter 2. Would you turn there with me? Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, Peter does some things in the story of the church moving forward, and it's more than just a church that is surviving, that's sitting at the gate of the national park. It's a church now that is thriving. And know this too, and have this in your mind. After Peter preached the sermon that he stole from two other guys, 3,000 people were saved. Never before had he ministered in this way in front of a group of people without Christ being there and he being a reflection of him and his movement around. And now he's empowered by the Holy Spirit, and he is not surviving, he's thriving. And the church was thriving, and they were moving forward with the Lord. And there's things that he talks about in these verses. And if you were to say today, I feel as if I'm in that just survival place as a believer, I want to experience the park thing. I want to experience God thing in my life. I want to see him walk across my path. I want to see the living water flowing into me. I want all of the things that God said that make our life abundant. I want it to happen. I want to thrive as a believer, move forward. He tells us how to do that right here in these verses. And it was prophetic what he was saying. So Peter stole the sermon, stole it from the prophet Joel, and he stole it from David. And stole isn't really the right word. He quoted them. And we're able to quote it today. So we start together with verse 14 of chapter 2. Then Peter stepped forward with the 11 other apostles and shouted to the crowd, "Listen carefully, all of you. Follow Jesus. And residents of Jerusalem, make no mistake about this. These people are not drunk, as some of you are assuming. 9 o'clock in the morning is much too early for that. No, what you see was predicted long ago by the prophet Joel." And here he's quoting a minor prophet of the Old Testament named Joel, who is prophesying about something that would happen when Peter addressed this. And he says it's the last days. Think of the last days as a season of the year, winter time. Peter was right at the beginning of winter. And he says the last days are starting. We are living in the last days. So we're far along in the winter season. And then he talks about some things that will happen at the end. So we're right in the middle of it. And anything that he's prophetically talking about right now are probably more powerful in the day that we're living in. He says it's starting right now. We're living in the last days. And in the day that we're living in, we're looking forward to the coming of Jesus Christ, his appearance, meeting him in the air, his capturing up of the church. So he says, in the last days, these are things that are going to happen. They're happening today. He says, this is what will happen. In the last days, God says, I'll pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I'll pour out my spirit even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. And I will cause wonders in the heavens and above and the skies on the earth below. This is talking about even towards the end of the season of the last days. The sun will become dark. The moon will turn to blood before that great and glorious day that the Lord arrives. But everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Right there in those verses, he just told us how it is that you and I would move from surviving as believers, living today, to thriving as believers. That we would see God working in our life, that we would be able to kind of go like this and get up over all the junk. And be able to look at what he's doing and be able to not feel as if we're held down and pressured down and that we can't make it. Thriving. What do we do? How do we thrive as a believer? The first is, and Peter experienced it for the first time in his ministry, he stepped forward. Step forward. There were 11 behind him. He just stepped forward. He just moved forward in the day. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. He captured the day. The thing that we would do as believers, because it is so defeating to us to feel as if I'm just here. I'm just staying. I'm just in a holding pattern. I don't have anything I'm looking forward to. Well, what's going to happen to me? How am I moving forward in my life? And he's stepping forward. What we do as believers is we wake up in the morning and we quote a psalm. And the psalm is, this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Let's see what you do today, God. Suppose we started doing that every day. Suppose we started really believing that God has got this day and he wants me to succeed in this day for him. Suppose we really believe that. How our life would change. That we didn't get up and we say, and people do this, man, today's going to be horrible. Look at it. It ain't like yesterday. Oh, I'm going back to bed. Suppose we go back to bed. You know, stay away from stuff. Stay away from everybody else because you're going to infect them. But suppose we step forward and we say, this is your day, God. You're going to do great things in this day. And whatever I face today, I believe that you're going to move forward. You're going to show yourself today. You're going to win in this. Driving around in the mountains and stuff, I don't know that this is true, but it kind of at a certain level had to be true. Let's say there were two Scotch-Irish immigrant families at the same time moving from the East Coast into East Tennessee years and years ago. Here they come. Both of them have land tracts right next to each other. They bought them while they were still back in the old country. They know where they are. They've already been staked out. They've been to the land company. They both have 100 acres. Here it is. Some of it's flat land along a creek and some of it's mountainside. There they are. They're at the same place. They both have a buggy. They both have a horse. Here they are. They say hi to each other and they look at their land and they see all these trees. So they start cutting them down. They make a little log cabin. They know they have to get a cow and some chickens, and they somehow trade around and find them. Here they are. They're in the same place. One of the guys say, you know what? There's a lot of people coming in here. There's a lot of good timber around here. I heard that over in Knoxville, I could get a sawmill. I could have a sawmill over here running off of this creek. You know what? I could saw lumber here. And I think I could do pretty good at doing that. You know what else? There need to be churches built around here. I could help people out with this. I'm going to do that. The other one says, you know what? I like my little cabin and sitting on the front porch. I'm just here. Whatever the day brings, the day brings. The other guy isn't settled. So everything that he thinks about from that day on and all of his focus, what can I trade? What can I do? What could I provide for somebody so I could get that psalm? And he finally gets it. And everything that he had in this vision and in this thought happened. It happens all the time. There are some people who can work for people and there are some people who cannot and they have to do their own thing. It happens all the time. But as a Christian, we can say, what God has blessed me with, I glorify him in. I step forward and I believe that he can do things because you said in the last days there will be visions and dreams. As a pastor, I've been a pastor since 1988. And the question that's asked to me the very most is, what do you think it is God has for me to do? I don't know what it is. I don't know what he wants me to do. What do you think his plans are for me? And this isn't ridiculous. This is a good thing that you're thinking this. But what the thing is you're understanding that right now you're in survival mode and you're not advancing forward. And you know that there's something there. And you know that it said so right here in the last days, men will have visions and dreams. And the visions and dreams are everything about your life, everything about the kingdom advancing, everything about what he wants to do through the spiritual gift that he has given to you. It's right there. And do you know what? I know from the Bible that you have it already inside you. Turn to Proverbs 20 and verse 5. Proverbs 20 and verse 5. It already says it's inside of you. It's down in you, and it's a wise person who brings it out. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 5. Through good advice lies deep within the heart. A person with understanding will draw it out. Another version that says plans. The plans are deep within your heart. The counsel of God is deep within you. The right direction for your life is deep within you. And it's a wise person who pulls it out. So I already have this in me. And then the sad verse is in Jeremiah 23 where it says, I have plans for you you know nothing about. Why don't I know about them? Because you don't dig them out. You don't seek them out. You're in survival mode. I've been in survival mode. We get in this place and we're not moving ahead and God has these things he wants to do through you. And it doesn't matter if you're in retirement age or you're 5 years old. He has plans for you that he wants to carry out and he wants you to be involved in and he wants your life to move forward and he wants you to thrive in this world that you're living in. Wow. So the first thing I would do is step forward. The next thing I would do is I'd ask him, what are these plans you have? In fact, do this. Don't eat lunch today. Don't go take a nap. Don't do anything else. Go somewhere today, sit by yourself and ask God, what is it that you have inside of me that you want to bring out of me? Because it says without vision in your life, you perish. I believe that spiritually. Doesn't mean you're going to die if you don't know it. It means that spiritually you will die if you don't have God's vision. So you're not even in survival mode. You're not moving ahead. He has a plan for you. There's something, and it may be this simple. It doesn't mean you have to go to Erie and Jaya on the mission field. It doesn't mean that you have to go start a church somewhere. It might be his vision and dream for you is you have this picture in your mind of where your family's going to be with God. I'm praying for that end. I want to see them all in the right place with Jesus. I want God to use a spiritual gift that he's given to me. It may be encouragement, it may be faith, it may be giving, whatever it is, I want to use it best in his kingdom. But right now I'm just surviving. I'm like the person on a loan and I'm just existing. I'm not doing anything. I'm not going ahead. I'm not changing the world for him. I'm not glorifying. I want him to work in me. I want to experience it. I want to give testimony that God is great and God is good. I'm going to step forward. You know what? When I step forward, from now on, if there is an opportunity to verbally say something, I'm going to say it. If I'm sitting with all of my friends and somebody says, I heard something on the news, I think we're done for. You could say, you know what? My God says that he's going to do this. My God is all powerful. My God, and I know because if you say it this way, people will always ask you. If you say, my God works this way, they'll say, who is your God? Da-da-da-da. Now I got an opportunity to talk. My God is doing it. Verbalize it to your husband or wife. Today is God's day. He's going to do great things today. Verbalize it to God. Say to God, today is your day. I'm seeing you. I want you to work. I want you to move around me. My life is desiring to be spirit-filled. I'm desiring that God will anoint me, that he'll work in me, that he fills me and he renews me. Somebody told me one time, when you became a Christian, the Holy Spirit filled you. That's it. You don't have to worry about anything. Why does it say be being filled with the Holy Spirit? Because I get dry. I get like that valley of dead bones. And his Holy Spirit renews me. He renews me by taking in his word, by talking with him, by spending time with him, by sharing things that he's doing, by praising him, by recognizing him in the world around me. He renews me. He spirit fills me. He anoints me. He works in me. He challenges me. That's what our God does as he moves in us. We talked about this morning. One of the most difficult things to do as a Christian isn't reading your Bible. It isn't sharing Jesus with people. Do you know what one of the most difficult things to do is? Pray. This is what happens. Dear Heavenly Father, oh man, my fingernails are getting long. Dear Heavenly Father, oh man, the grass. I got to take care of the grass today. Dear Heavenly Father, I ask that you would work in a day and then... What? What was that? All the time. We get distracted. We don't think about communicating with him. And the difficulty is his spirit is willing and my spirit has to have focus. I got to make myself do it. How respectful it would be to God who saved us to say to him, okay, this time is your time. Everything else is out of my head. There isn't the TV on, the computer isn't on, my cell phone isn't on. This is your time and I'm talking to you. How respectful that is to talk to the creator of the universe this way. And during this time, I'm talking to you. And I'm telling you, you are my God, and I see you. Bless the Lord and oh my soul. I look to you. I focus on you. I want to talk to you. I want you to be talking to me. I want you to declare to me what your plans are that you want to carry out in my life. I want to tell you that I can't make it today and I need you. I want to share with you names of people who are close to me, who I'm asking that you work in their life. The thing that you want carried out in me, God, I want you to do it today. I want you to use me in the most perfect way that you want to use me, God. Communicate with him. And he shares his vision with us. And he brings it out of our spirit. And he says, here it is. This is what I want to do with you. And it is amazing. And you think that you're nothing. Wait until, and it'll be just in a moment, and it won't be long. Wait until you hear the second person that Peter stole from and how God used him in a powerful way. The last thing that he says in this part of the sermon is, God saved you. He saved me from what? He saved you from sin and death. The thing that keeps God's plan from coming out of me and the thing that keeps me in the survival place and not in the thriving place is the dark stuff I let come into my life. The stuff I watch, look at, think in my mind, verbalize out of my mind, things I allow to hold me and stagnate me, the things I allow to fill me up inside that aren't of him, and all of that keeps me from surviving. or thriving, but keeps me in the survival mode. I want to move ahead for the Lord. And I recognize that He saved me from that. He gives me the ability to be like Him. He said so. He gives us the ability to have His mind. So the first part of this is moving from survival to thriving is stepping forward. Write that down, stepping forward. The next thing is I recognize that I need to daily allow God's Spirit to fill me and renew me. Be being filled. The next thing is I come to God and I say to Him, I want your dream and vision for me. Show it to me today. I need to know it. I don't want to die anymore. And the last thing is praise God that He has saved me from this stuff that holds me back. Now we deal with your excuses. Yeah, but you don't know what I deal with in my life. Survival is a pretty good place to be if you went through what I have gone through in my life. I'm okay right here. I know you're thinking that. It's okay. I'm right here. Wait until you hear what this guy went through and that he is not in survival mode. He is in thriving mode, and you have never experienced the stuff that he has experienced. Listen to this. We're down now to verse 25. King David said this, as Peter shared this message, and I share what Peter was sharing that David said. King David said this, I see that the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken, for He is right beside me. No wonder my heart is glad and my tongue shouts His praises. My body rests in hope. For you will not leave my soul among the dead or allow your Holy One to rot in the grave. You have shown me the way of life, and you will fill me with the joy of your presence. David said this. Who was this guy? Oh, yeah, David and Goliath. Great guy. See, he didn't have any problems at all until he had a best friend that died in battle, lost him, and he couldn't save his best friend. And his father wanted to chase him all over the wilderness and try killing him because he knew that David would be the next king. And so he wanted to get rid of him and was very jealous of him. Finally, King Saul dies. David comes into the kingdom. He has a wife who laughs at him and mocks him. He was dancing in the street and she laughed at him. She never encouraged him. She never moved him forward. He didn't get strength from his wife. He married another woman and this woman lost her husband, so he came to the rescue and took her. Then he married another woman and it was based on sex. Sex marriages never are great, but that's what he did, and he killed her husband. Remember all that kind of stuff that happened to King David? Then know this, he had a bunch of kids. None of them turned out good, none of them. One of his sons slept with one of his daughters. Did you know that? And then she came into a place of mourning because of this and put on a dress that told that she had been tainted. And the rest of her days, she walked around in despair, feeling as if there was no hope for her. Then the son who slept with his sister began hating his sister, despised her, didn't want to be near her. Then another one of his sons killed that son because he was so mad at him for sleeping with his sister. Then he had a son, and this son was one of the party guys. He had this beautiful flowing hair, it says, real thick hair. And he was one of the guys that went like that all the time. You know, he looked good. He was a handsome guy, they say, and he partied all the time. And one of his friends says, you know what? You ought to be king. I can't be king. My dad's king. Well, why don't we do a little plan and get rid of your dad and you become the king? I think you'd be a great king. I mean, we would have parties all the time. Hey, that's a good idea. So he makes up a whole army. He starts doing things to sabotage his father and try killing his father. David loved his son Absalom. He didn't want to kill his son. He didn't want to bring him down. He hated what he was doing, but so what David did is he went out into the wilderness, he hid himself, he stayed away from Absalom, Absalom one day is riding his mule through the forest. His hair is flowing, you know. He didn't even wear a hat because he liked his hair flowing. And there was this branch that was over top. And he leans down and all of a sudden, it catches him, pulls him out of his saddle, and he's hanging there in the hair. Hey, somebody help me! And he's trying to untangle his hair out of the... This is all in the Bible. It's all there. You can read it. I'm not adding nothing. And he's hanging there by his hair. Then one of David's soldiers sees him hanging there, knew that he was trying to overthrow David, and he killed him right there in the tree. And it caused great sorrow to David. David also had an infant son die because of David's sin. Sometimes David did things in the kingdom that weren't in God's plan. He thought it was a good idea, but he didn't go to God, and people died because of decisions he made. Think of the guilt that he had on himself. I said this morning, and I think this is probably true. I want to ask David someday in heaven if this really went down like this. But Bathsheba, David is on his deathbed. Now, I'm saying all this to tell you that David was somebody who got above the place of survival to the place of thriving. I know this happened. Remember, Bathsheba was the one that he had an affair with, and she got pregnant, and David's answer to all of it was kill her husband and then become the hero. Remember that? Well, anyhow, I know this happened. David is on his deathbed. He's cold. He's there. There's servants around him. Bathsheba comes into the room. Would you leave me and the king alone for a moment? Walks over to the bed. Big boy, you owe me. I've known of the rumors that you killed off my husband a long time ago, who I loved. And I also know that our infant son that we had together died because of you. You owe me. You know my son Solomon? You're going to get yourself up off of this deathbed and you're going to anoint him to be king because one of your other sons is trying to rally right now, support and become the king. Get yourself up right now, anoint him as king and make it all right. And he did. So all that's going on in David's life. Can you imagine this? All this junk. And what does he say? God is with me all the time. He does not leave my side. He watches over me. I call on him and he is there. David was one who went from survival in his life to thriving constantly. David brought the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom together. They were enemies, Israel. They were enemies. God brought them together through David, just like bringing the north and the south together. He was the president. He brought them together. He made them one. David did that. David fought the Philistines and he won. He is in thriving mode. David wrote beautiful psalms about God's forgiveness. David wrote things about God that no one else said. David gave prophetic verses right here when he talks about, you'll not leave my soul in hell. He was talking about Jesus. How do I know that? Because when you read the verses down a little further, it said he was talking of the Messiah, the anointed one who will come. He knew all that about God. And do you know what God said about David? He knew that David was not in a survival place, but a thriving place. And he said, David is a man after my heart. Unlike all other men, in the day that he is living, David has caught my heart as God. Wow. He's the guy who went in the park. And he looked at everything and came out and told everybody, yeah, but David, you shouldn't be this happy. Look at your family. Look at all the stuff that happened to you. Look at all the mistakes you made in your life. He's my God. He is always on my side. He is always near me. He walks with me and he talks with me and I know him. And I thrive in this world. So what excuse do I have? Or what excuse do you have to not thrive? That's just David. And there were many more. And they had miraculous lives with God because they came from the place of survival to thriving. What did they do? They stepped forward. This is a day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. In my boils, as I sit here in ashes, I worship the Lord God. I came into the world with nothing. I'll leave with nothing. Praise be to God. That was Job. What worse could happen? He had 10 kids die. All of his possessions were stolen. And he loved the Lord. He was in thriving mode. Mary Magdalene was in thriving mode. She turned from everything she was involved in and was allowed to be the first one to recognize Jesus at the tomb. She became an ambassador of Christ. Are we surviving? Are we thriving? God, what is your plan that you want me to live in? Am I spending time in prayer with you? Is your spirit coming into me? I don't want to just breathe air. I don't want to just sit here in a chair. I don't want to just walk and talk and do nothing. I want to thrive as a believer and see you move in me. Advance the kingdom through me, God. Me? Yes, you. As we close today, we sing this hymn together and we talk about the Lord and just a closer walk with him. I want you to be thinking of these things and something that you might want to change even today as we move forward. This isn't a beat you up thing. This is an encouragement to you of where God wants to bring you to and what he wants to do in your life and how he wants to move through you.
Thank you for listening. Join us here in person at the Gathering in Meadowview in Rogersville, Tennessee, or join us next week right here on the Dig Bible Podcast.